Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, in taking a little time with this verse, I would say that faith is the avenue where all of these things are worked. None of the things that God wants to work in our lives, that He wants to reveal in us, is worked outside of the relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the area of faith that we're talking about. Because a lot of times when we talk about faith, we're not talking about faith separate from Jesus Christ. We're talking about faith in Christ Jesus. We're talking about what He does. We're talking about a relationship with Him. And this is something that each one of us must start to let God break upon our consciousness and formulate in our thinking what it really means when we talk about faith. Because to throw these words out without it taking and us taking a hold of them and doing something with them has very little value. And I think that most of us, or at least we want to spend time and have it mean something to us, right? I don't think any of us here sitting here willfully wants to waste time. Some of us do because we do not apply ourselves. We think that we have it all under control. How many of you found that you don't have it under control? You don't. Faith must be tried. And of course, when we look at this area of faith, it's got to speak to us. It can't just be a four-letter word. Are you thinking? Is faith a four-letter word?
No.
It's a five-letter word, right?
Amen.
Faith. Sometimes we don't think. Things just pass over us. We don't think. We've got to start to think in God. Doesn't do any good to encourage us unless we are actively engaged this morning in desiring something from God and thinking that we can do nothing. There's nothing that originates in us, from us. It all originates from the Lord Himself. We must come to this place. So when we're talking about faith and we're seeing what it does, we realize that this is not the easy position. Faith is not sitting down and enduring. Now, maybe you wouldn't define yourself as just enduring. But unless your spiritual life is active towards God, believing that He's working all things, and knowing that He's working all things, you're enduring. Just as simple as that. There's no gray areas in the working of God when we're talking about active faith and just enduring. And of course, we want to encourage one another to come out of this place of just enduring, just going along and hoping that things are going to work out all right. Kind of a fatalist attitude, right? Some of us have that unbeknownst to us, because we do not want to exercise ourselves in this, because we know the conflict is there. We know the battle is there. And you may not call it a battle, but it's a conflict. A battle is a conflict. And as I've already said, just in the immune system, now relate that over to the spiritual working. When we encounter spiritual conflict, what do? You only got to have one place to go. What do? You go to Him. You can't work it in yourself. I can't work it in myself. I go to Him. As Christians, we come along and we get weary and we get tired. We wonder why. We think we need this or we need that or we need to get rest. Well, the one thing you need to do to find out what the trouble is, because you'll find out that in the Spirit of God, there is always that energy that's flowing in your body, that spiritual vitality that presses you on, where you don't feel weary. So where do you go? Come on. Where do you go? Go to Jesus. Not to endure and hope that He goes away. We have so many things today that we can swallow or take, and we feel that it doesn't. Man, if I can just get down this pill, it knows right where to go, and it gives me just what I need. What What a deception. What a deception to our spiritual growth when it comes to our spiritual life and walk with Him. Has God made provisions? Or has this always been our case? In the natural, this has always been our case. We've always been looking for something that will suffice, that will make life a little bit easier. We don't have to exercise anything. It doesn't take anything to take a pill. Right? Nothing. I'm not being critical. Anybody's taking pills. So I hope you understand it. Doesn't take anything. Doesn't take any power. It doesn't take any activating of faith. It doesn't take anything but throwing it in your mouth and drink a little water. Think about it. Do we believe that God has made provision? Now we're talking about everything for us. Natural and right on up to spiritual. Psychological. Mental. Has He made provisions for us? What is that provision? And what does it take to bring the reality of that into expression? It takes diligence, and we don't think diligence is a conflict. It stands unwavering against anything that's thrown against it. And everything's going to be thrown against it. Your thinking, everything else, everybody's opinions around you, you're going to have to stand one way. In Christ Jesus, before Him, until He brings the reality of that answer. Our society is so advanced, you know, life is being extended, right? By what? Medical? The medical ability of man? That's how it's being extended? That's why we have us old folks living longer? Huh? That's what they say. Our medical has advanced to the place that we now have longer life. We can take that and we can accept that, and it actually throws our whole spiritual thinking into neutral. We don't have to think in God. We don't have to come and answer the real questions. And these are real questions that we're talking about. Many times we use the word, maybe overuse it, the reality. But, you know, reality is not some concept. Reality is a person. Reality is Jesus. So if I want to know the reality of God, I must know Jesus Christ. It must be working in my life. If I want to know the reality of faith, I'm going to have to stand. Let's go back to, in Hebrews here a minute, to the 10th chapter and see what it says about this new covenant. Because it also speaks to us about this area of... In the 22nd verse, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Don't tell me it's not going to be a conflict to see the reality of that. We're not battling some evil forces. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the actual conflict that comes from us standing in truth. The enemy has been defeated. We're not talking about that. We're talking about that thing of standing in faith, letting something work, believing God and not wavering in it, because that's what the new covenant is all about. If we think we're going to receive something just by going into neutral and being still, and that's all part of waiting, I'm sure. But if you don't have faith in waiting, your waiting is in vain. But look what it says. Faith, our faith, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now you have to answer yourself whether you waver or one way or another. Our health is based upon a equality of what God has put within these bodies of clay and our immune system to see that we're on a proper balance. Our spiritual life is based upon our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, period. You can put any other definition you want to on it, but that's where it comes to. To obtain from that area, to obtain from God, I'm going to have to stand unwavering in my faith. Because everything's going to come against that faith. And it tells you, the trial of your faith. Do you think that you're going to have faith without a trial? We're quick to say, I don't want to ask God for patience, but we don't realize that the trial of our faith worketh patience. Puts a different light on it completely. Anything that we do in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, in standing what God has said, standing in it, partaking of it, having Him reveal it to us, everything in us is going to cry out, no. There's one thing that cries out, yes. The Spirit of God within us. And faith. See, we don't stop to realize these things. Or at least I don't think so. How many of you have been thinking along this line, anywhere along the line? Another place of conflict. Yield your members to God. Conflict. You're going to have a conflict right away. Because everything in the world is going to bid for your attention to yield your members to. And it seems like that God always gets second best. We always yield to the things that are pressing us the most. Those that are making the loudest noise. A simple illustration. When we start to fast, the thing that makes the loudest noise is your stomach. And usually we yield to it. We yield to it. Many other things come in mind when you get down to these areas to where nothing's going to control you but God. Are we serious? I'm sure this morning we're gathered together to encourage each other in this area of being serious. I don't mean that we don't have any joy, but beloved, I'm bubbling over this morning. Hallelujah. But I also realize that in this walk of faith, that I'm going to be hit with everything that this world has to hit me with. But I'm more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Come on now. We can say we're more than conquerors, but to realize that everything's going to be thrown against us. We're going to have to endure in living faith. Not just endure without the faith. We're going to have faith that is actively engaged in that relationship with God. We're going to have to get to know Him and know the ways that He is working. And to let Him speak to us in these things that we're talking about here this morning. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's easy for James to say. James is saying this so that the Lord can apply it to each one of our lives. Let me read it again. But let patience have her perfect work, that it may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Here again, nothing wavering. Faith that cannot be moved. We thought we were going to receive something from God for nothing, didn't we? The free gift is free. It costs you nothing. God paid it all. And beloved, when you receive that free gift, you're now in the working of God. No longer, there's no talk in the realm of not costing this thing. It's going to cost you everything. You're going to have to, as the expression goes, that's used in the scripture, you're going to have to get out of the boat. You can't sit in the boat any longer. You can't just say everything's going to be all right. You know, if I just wait long enough, everything will take care of itself. No, no. That isn't the realm that we're talking about, nor is that the revelation that's revealed to us through the Scriptures. The working of faith. The trying of our faith. This whole aspect of not wavering. For it goes on and tells us, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Because sometimes that's what happens. Our faith is wavering. Everything comes along. It tosses us to and fro. We know what God wants. But then we come to the place even at times that we think it's too difficult. God puts it too hard. He makes it too hard. God never makes anything too hard, beloved, this morning. Nothing is too hard. All he's asking for is simple faith. And he's the one that works that and gives that to you. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. You don't receive that without some time with him. That's not kneeling before God and just hoping. That's kneeling before God in an active relationship with him. Now let me just go on a little bit further. Does faith know what God is doing? Faith is experiencing what God is doing. If it's faith, belief doesn't go very far. Not in the actual working out of it. You know, as you look at the Scriptures, you look at all the promises that God has made us, and those that are really full. And we try our best to receive those promises, and he's the only one that can give those promises. So we don't wait on him. We work and struggle within ourselves to receive what God has for us. Is that true? Huh? We don't wait in faith before him. If God has given you a promise, he's the only one that can work that promise in you. You believe that? Take it around. Look at any of us. If I make you a promise, who can work that promise but me? I'm the one that made the promise. If I make you a promise, you better look to me to fulfill that promise. Same way with God. What God has given us, we're going to have to look to him. Nothing else. Not what we can do, what God can do. Do we want the promise? We would all say yes. Faith unwavering. Faith is going to endure the onslaught of the natural mind. Because every thought is going to come there. And what do you do with it? What do you do with those thoughts? Bring them captive to Christ. You have that ability. You have that power when you have received the promise. And you know, when you receive the promise of God, the actual fulfillment of God coming to abide within you, you know, there's no more consideration of self, no more struggling with self. If you're struggling with self this morning, the trouble is you have not yielded to the Lord. You're not moving in faith. You'll slip back into some abnormal, what you call spiritual condition, without being in a living relationship with Christ. Because in this relationship with Christ, in this walk of faith, in this receiving what he has for us, no longer is a struggling, but there is a yielding of my members to God. Not to man, not to what I want to do, yielding my members to God. This is real. This is not just theory. When we want to know more of God, we're going to enter into this area. That's why sometimes when we fail to do it, it takes time. We don't like all the questions that come to us, because all of us have questions, right? And when you get your questions answered, many times it doesn't do anything for you because you haven't let God answer them, you've let man answer them. That doesn't mean that God couldn't use man, but majority of time We're looking for somebody to give us a quick fix. Come on. Can we be truthful with ourselves this morning? Does any of you believe that we're not in a conflict? Anybody believe we're not in a conflict? Are you sure? Don't be afraid to voice it if you do. Because we need to get at the truth of what God has for us to be able to encourage one another. Because if we're not in a conflict, if it's not the trial of our faith, what does that mean? All of us, or I would say the majority of us here this morning, have been in the Lord long enough to know that when we step out in faith, there is everything that the world has and everything that we are thrown against us, trying to discourage us. The situation. The time element. I haven't got time. You know, we don't have time for anything. All right, you admitted it. What are you going to do about it? Because if you admit it, you don't have time for anything, what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? There's no meaning to admit something and then not do something about it. Not allow God to be God in our lives. Because that's the most precious thing, to know God and to realize God in these areas. We're moved into the fullness of all that God is by love. Love that does not have devotion attached to it is not love at all. Listen to me now. Try it. The thing that moves us is love. That means devotion. Where is your devotion? Love without devotion is not love at all. Are we devoted to who? Are we saying within our own self, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" Are we looking at ourselves so much that we can't see Jesus? That we can't see what He's done for us? So what I'm saying this morning, all of these things, even though I have not gone into the fullest extent of them, they're there. These trials, these testings, everything that's being thrown against us as so-called Christians. Every avenue is thrown against you that keeps you away from doing the will of God. We may think that what we're doing, and we make excuses to think it is the will of God, but you will have to find that out at the end. When you stand before Him, whether you really heard Him and you fulfilled what He wants, or whether you have made excuses for what you're doing. Have we really heard? Have we taken the time to fellowship God? And these are, you know, somewhat ambiguous, because we say these things, but to really come down to the facts of it, you must do it. We can talk about these areas, and I'm sure that we would say amen to them. They go over our head. But for us to enter into it, you must do it. You must enter into these areas. And if you're devoted, and if you don't know what devotion is, I'm sure that even the natural devotion can tell you a little bit of what devotion is all about. When you're devoted to someone, to something, you know what? It draws you there. There's a devotion to it. Well, we're talking about a higher working, the very devotion and love of God that causes us to wait upon Him and know Him. All of us have experienced self and all of its ugliness, and oftentimes we continue to experience it, even when we come, because we allow ourselves to become self-centered. Let me say this to us. When we become God-centered, we will not be self-conscious, nor will we be associated with what we want from God. We will be associated with the will of God, and we will give ourselves to that working. You can listen to it. You can listen to yourself. If you think that you've entered into real prayer with God and intercession, have you given yourself? Is what your prayers, are they for you, for what you want, or have you entered into what God wants? I don't want to give you too much to think about now this morning. These things blow the natural mind. I'm well aware of it. I mean, and I'm not somebody that's afar from you. I'm right in your midst. These things are searching my own soul. I realize, along with many of you, what it means to stand in faith unwavering. But that you can only stand in faith unwavering when you know you're standing in God. Because everything that God is doing by faith is Himself. And so when you stand unwavering, you're standing in God. You're standing in what God wants. You're standing in God's will. Do we know what God's will is for ourselves, for our well-being, for our natural health? Do we know what God's will is? Come on, I'm getting down to where these are touchy areas. I'm fully aware of it. And I'm made out of the same thing you are, flesh and bone. But if we don't go on down to some of these areas, we're not going anywhere. If we can't get down to talking about these things and be open with each other to where we can encourage each other, we're not going to take any spiritual growth. We may have had knowledge, we may gain certain knowledge, but we're not going to move in God. Alive. I'm alive, you say. Unto God. Are you living His life or trying to live your life for Him? Did you hear me? You sure? You didn't even flinch. I'm not trying to be funny. That gets my attention, whether it gets yours or not. Every step in faith that I think that I'm taking must be tested by the reality. Is this something that I am doing because I want it done, or is this something that God is doing and I am entering into it? To ask the question, what is God's will for my natural physical stability and health? Do I want to know? How does it fit to me? How does it work in my life? What do I have to do to enter into it? Serious questions right now.